Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Joining us today on this life study of the Bible from the book of Revelation to discuss this very, very good news is Ron Kangas. Ron, welcome back to the program.
Always good to be here with you.
Ron, after the rapture of the overcomers at the beginning of the 3.5-year-long Great Tribulation, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers has been cast down, who accuses them before our God day and night." This kingdom that will come is called the millennial kingdom. It's a 1,000-year reign of Christ. We're going to focus on this today. Actually, as I was thinking back, we've mentioned it now many, many times, not only in our life study of Revelation, but also, of course, when we were in Matthew and many other books. But we've never really focused on it specifically, what this 1,000-year period will be like. And we want to remedy that today, Ron, so please give us a little introduction.
We recognize that for centuries, there has been much theological discussion and debate over this matter of the kingdom. We won't enter into that. We will just present faithfully and clearly as possible our understanding of the scriptural teaching. What we mean by the millennial kingdom will be a period of 1,000 years in length that will take place on the earth in the old creation, wherein the Lord Jesus Christ will be reigning as king with his throne in Jerusalem. As far as the physical environment is concerned, that will be the fulfillment of prophecies in the Old Testament, referring to harmony in nature, the brightness of the sun, the length of human life, the peace among the creatures, the abolition of war. It will be, as it is rightly called, the age of righteousness. The present age is the age of grace. That will be an age of righteousness. And during this time, the king with his co-kings, the overcomers, will reign in righteousness over all the earth. It was promised to the Lord in the scriptures that the entire earth was his inheritance. We know from Revelation 10 he will come to claim his rightful inheritance. That will be the time when he comes with his overcomers to abolish human government, to eliminate money, to terminate war, and to bring in a 1,000-year reign of righteousness and peace throughout the earth. Participation in this period of time is not for every believer. It is a reward for those believers who were faithful to God and who lived an overcoming life in the present age. So this is an overall brief view of the coming millennial kingdom, the reign of the glorious Christ in righteousness on the earth for 1,000 years.
Well, this portion that we're about to hear opens up a very important matter involving the Great Tribulation and how it is used by God in ways that I believe will be new to most of our listeners, perhaps even a kind of revelation itself. Here's Witness Lee.
You all have to know, in the Old Testament, too many portions, too many verses concerning this millennial kingdom. Actually, this is the very good news proclaimed to humankind through all the prophets in the Old Testament. First of all, we have to see before the millennial kingdom, so many things happen, starting from the rapture of the overcomers. In chapter 12, when the man-child is raptured to heaven, right away there is a declaration that now is come the power, the authority, and the kingdom of God. Actually, by that time, the kingdom has not come yet. That was a little before the great tribulation of 3.5 years. But we know the kingdom will come after that period of 3.5 years. But in the eyes of those who got raptured to the heavens, they declared that the kingdom is come. So you can see the things that all happen within the 3.5 years. And all these things are just the clearance of this earth, to clear up the whole earth for God's kingdom to come.
Ron, let's spend some time on this clearing up of the whole earth that he just spoke of. I think most believers today have a realization that the darkness of the world situation, the evil that is so prevalent in this age, is advancing at an incredibly increasing rate, and its intensity is also increasing. It's become so obvious that even, I think, many unbelievers are aware of something's going on. There really is a great need for this kind of clearing up, isn't there?
There is a great need for two main reasons. I mentioned the secondary reason first, and that is the unrighteous situation, the destructive situation on the earth that must be cleared up for the sake of God's accomplishing His will on the earth. But the primary significance concerns God Himself. In this age, He is blasphemed, He is mocked, His existence is denied, He is cursed, He is blamed for all kinds of things. There is unspeakable evil and righteousness spreading all over the earth, and it's intensifying. God must vindicate Himself. He must manifest His righteousness and holiness. For God to be righteous means He is right in everything He does, everything He promises, everything He speaks. So the Lord, at the time designated by the Father, will intervene and clear up the earth, we may say, in two stages. One stage will be the period of the Great Tribulation with its increasingly severe judgments to deal with sinners, with evil, with rebellion, with the satanic element on the earth, yet giving humans the opportunity to repent and believe in God. Then the Lord Himself will come and eliminate the armies of Antichrist. Satan will be bound and cast into the abyss. The unrighteous ones will be judged and removed. And the Lord, for 1,000 years, will establish His rule, and His co-kings will gradually, by ruling with an iron rod, metaphorically speaking, will subdue the earth. So during the Great Tribulation, through judgment, during the age of the kingdom, through righteousness, the dreadful situation that is increasing on the earth will be cleared up. God will manifest His righteousness and holiness, and He will vindicate Himself to everyone and in every situation. May that day come soon.
Ron, in an upcoming program, we'll touch that at the conclusion of the 1,000-year kingdom age, there will be another period where rebellion surfaces, and that period will require a further cleaning up. But let's consider now what will happen during this coming 1,000-year period, the age of the kingdom that Christ will usher in at His second coming. It's commonly referred to, I mentioned earlier, the millennium. We know that it will be a time of restoration of the original creation of God prior to the injection of sin and the fall with its satanic element. There are actually a number of prophetic references to this time in the Old Testament books of the prophets. We've selected one in particular, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. "And the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold like the light of 7 days, on the day when Jehovah binds up the breach of his people and heals the wound from his stroke." Here's Witness Lee.
To understand the millennium, you need many, many portions from the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you have Acts 3:21 that says the time of restoration. And this restoration not only will be for man, but also for all the creatures, the heaven, the earth, even the trees, the animals, all the things who got cursed through the fall of man will be restored. By that day, the moon will be so bright as the sun, and the sun will be sevenfold brighter. This tells us today the sun we see, the moon we see in the night, and the stars are not normal because they all got cursed. Cursed through what? Cursed, number one, through the rebellion of Satan. And number two, through the fall of man. And we are told clearly in Genesis 3, the earth got cursed. The earth becomes not so normal. According to Deuteronomy, God prophesied, due to the sinfulness of the children of Israel, curse came down to that good land flowing with milk and honey. So that land became abnormal. The whole universe today is abnormal. It is not normal, but when the millennial time comes, everything will be restored.
Well, Ron, I think we all love this passage in Acts chapter 3. Jesus, whom heaven must indeed receive until the times of the restoration of all things, of which God spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Ron, when you look at the creation and the earth and the universe that's all around us, it's easy to appreciate and see all of the beauty, the majesty of it. But in reality, we need to see that it's not nearly the paradise that God originally created. In fact, it's abnormal, as we heard Witness Lee say. Say something, if you would, about the need for this restoration of all things spoken of in Acts chapter 3.
This restoration will take place during the 1,000 years of the millennial kingdom. We need to be clear, this is not yet the time of the new heaven and the new earth, with the New Jerusalem manifested in totality. This restoration takes place in the old creation. In effect, it will be a return to the condition of creation before the fall and before sin came in with the curse. What God created in the beginning, he said, was good. Eventually, he said, very good. But due to sin coming in and the curse, there's all kinds of abnormality, disharmony, violence in the creation itself. For that reason, according to Romans 8, the whole creation is travailing, longing to be released from this bondage. The restoration will be the time of such a release. So we know from prophecies in Old Testament, especially, say, Isaiah 30, there will be tremendous environmental changes, fulfilling the concerns of those today who are rightfully worried about the environment and its degradation. The desert will blossom like a garden. The lion and the lamb will be friends and lie down together. There will be peace. Human life will be very much extended in duration. One passage says if someone would die at the age of 100, some would say, my, he had such a short life. There will be a restoration of the old creation to its original state. That is what we mean by the times of restoration, taking place during the thousand-year reign of the King of Righteousness.
Well, Ron, we're kind of turning the corner here toward the end of the life study of Revelation. I think it's worthwhile to take a moment, maybe to tie some of these things together. We've seen a number of times that the kingdom age is a time of reward for the faithful, overcoming believers. It's a time when the overcoming believers will rule and reign with him in righteousness on the earth. One aspect of the millennial kingdom that might be new to many of our listeners is that there are three categories of people living during the kingdom age. The first two, I think, are pretty well known, the saved Jews and the overcoming believers. But this third category may not be so well known. There are ones that responded to what's called the eternal gospel that we saw in Revelation 14. Maybe you would review again for those who might have missed that message, just what is the eternal gospel and how is it different from the gospel of grace that we enjoy in the church age?
The eternal gospel is a gospel proclaimed to contradict the demand of Antichrist and his false prophet that this Antichrist be worshipped as God. So the eternal gospel is the summons to the earth to worship God and to refuse to worship the beast, Antichrist, to acknowledge the Creator. This gospel will be preached to the unbelievers who are on the earth during the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. This eternal gospel is contrary to the gospel of grace proclaimed throughout this present age of grace, which has to do with the forgiveness of sins, justification by grace through faith, reconciliation to God, regeneration to be born of God, to have the life and nature of God, to be children of God, to have eternal life, the divine life imparted into us. That gospel will not be preached during the Great Tribulation. So those on the earth during this time of the Great Tribulation will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ after he returns. He is called, properly, the judge of the living and the dead. He will judge the dead at the great white throne after the millennium. The living will be judged at the start of the millennium, when all the people on the earth who are still alive will appear before him, and they will be judged according to two criteria. The first, did they respond to and believe in the eternal gospel? That's according to Revelation 14. Second, how did they treat the suffering people of God, the Jews and the Christians who were being persecuted? That's according to Matthew 25. Those who pass this examination, they will then be transferred to become the people, the nations, during the millennial kingdom. So that is how there will be the third category of people, the overcoming believers, the restored Jews as the priests, and the people who responded to the eternal gospel and treated well the suffering people of God. They will be the nations. They will not have eternal life, but they will enter eternal life in that they will enjoy life in the millennial kingdom.
Well, Ron, how about a time of restoration when the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a young boy will lead them about. The nursing child will play by the cobra's hole, and upon the viper's den the weaned child will stretch his hand. These, of course, are favorite Sunday school passages, I think, but there is a fulfillment, a reality of this that's ahead of us, where all of these things will come to pass. Let's go back once again to Witness Lee.
A lot of prophecies in Isaiah, and a lot in Psalms, and so many in Zechariah, all refer to the millennium. All the beasts, cattle, will be restored to such an extent that the leopard could play with little children. Amen. That will be not a miracle. That will be common. Today, that will scare us to death. right? This means what? This means everything will be restored. You know, many, many times when I got bitten by the mosquitoes, I said, oh, I need the restoration. And the mosquitoes also need the restoration. And when the mosquitoes will be restored, they will no more bite people. I will listen to the mosquitoes' musical singing. I don't need to get some repellent, some mosquito net. No, mosquito will be so pleasant because mosquito will be restored. Even the flies will be restored. The flies will be no more trouble. You believe me? All mosquito biting, all the bugs, you know, the gophers and the flies. All this due to what, you know? Due to the fall of Adam. We shouldn't hate gophers. We're to blame Adam. The Adam fall brought in the gophers. But when Christ comes again, all the gophers will be restored. Amen. You believe me? Everything will be restored. And all the trees will be flourishing. Every kind of blossom will be so prevailing. All this has been described in full in Isaiah. The desert will be what? Full of water. And there will be the highway. And so forth. My, you read Isaiah. Isaiah is a full record of the description of the millennium.
Ron, he was referring to some of these verses from Isaiah 35 that describe how the earth will be during the millennium. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the desert will exult and blossom like the rose. For water will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And the desert mirage will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. Ron, I don't mean this in a flippant way, but genuinely, of course, as believers, we do have some responsibility for care for the earth. It's God's creation, and we are given a stewardship which we need to exercise in a proper and prudent way. But for all of the dear ones that are so concerned, even obsessed with the environment and the condition of the earth, really, the best thing we can do for the earth is to become matured in life so that the Lord himself can return and restore the creation to its original state. Is that too much?
Surely not too much. I utter a hearty amen to your word. People, understandably, today are concerned about two huge problems. The first, the various kinds of gross unrighteousness and evil and bias and hatred and enmity among the peoples on the earth, the social problem, the inequality. And another concern, understandably, is with the environment, the degradation of the environment. But as always, human beings have their own solution, their own philosophy, their own view on how these should be resolved. We don't despise that. We appreciate the good intention of people wanting to struggle, even to fight for justice, people wanting to even crusade for certain environmental adjustments. But we would like to testify that God is very concerned about the earth. He's deeply concerned about all forms of injustice and unrighteousness and hostility on the earth. He's also concerned about the earth itself that he created as the habitat for the man created in his image to express him and represent him. So yes, the best thing we can do for a thorough resolution to these two great problems is to present ourselves to the Lord, to open our being to him as believers, to receive his dispensing day by day, to grow in his life unto maturity, so that the body of Christ is built up and the bride of Christ is prepared, thereby enabling Christ as the bridegroom and the Lord to return. When he returns, that will mark the solution to these two grave problems. There will be righteousness instead of injustice. Regarding the environment, there will be a marvelous release from all kinds of contamination and degradation. There will be a return, as much as possible, to the original God-created earth.
Thank you for your fellowship.
You're welcome.
And we're out of time. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.